Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Who in here is ready for God to speak to today? Your heart's ready, you want to hear from the Lord, you're ready for God to minister to you. None of you teenagers grew up hearing this. All of us old people did. But so y'all won't understand any of this, but for us old people in here, we were begging our mother to do something. And we wanted to do this, we wanted to do that. Why can't, and she'd say no. And then all kids are the same. Why can't I? Why won't you let me? Well, why can't I? Well, everybody else. And here's what we heard. Because I said so. You know, I hated that because it was over. I mean, when they pull that out of the holster, when mom or dad pulled that out, because I said so, and they turned around and walked off, all your kicking and fit throwing and arguing. See, I still had some more lobbying that I wanted to do for my case. I wasn't done throwing my fit. See, because I said so. They turned and walked. The title of the message today is, Because I Said So. Because I Said So. Until recently, parents parented. That's more than housing your kid, clothing them, and driving them to school. But there was a constant parenting going on. Parents controlled the kids' thoughts. Parents controlled the kids' actions. They controlled the kids' emotions. You throw yourself in the floor and start, boy, your mom grab you by the arm, jerk you up, you stand up here, young man. See, parents had control of their kids' emotions. You'd be over at somebody's house, get your feet off of their couch. What's the matter? See, they control their actions. See, not in this house. You're not going to talk like that here. See, they controlled their thinking and what was coming out of their mouth. See, it was called parenting. And parents parented biblically. Now, I get it. Some went to church, some didn't go to church, some never went to church. But parents knew absolute rights, absolute wrongs that only came from the Bible, and they were right at their house or at the friend's house or at the neighbor's house or on Friday night or on Sunday. They were absolute rights and absolute wrongs, and parents instilled these values into every child. They didn't have a child and let him grow up and let the child decide whether he was going to be a boy or a girl. I mean, they made one quick observation and identified whether they were a boy or a girl. See, parents instilled a biblical value system into kids. Let me just assure you, caveman did not come up with don't lie, especially when he was put on the spot. Caveman did not come up with don't steal, especially when he was a big guy, bigger than whoever owned what he wanted. He didn't come up with that. Caveman did not come up with don't even want your neighbor's stuff. Bible calls that coveting. Don't covet. The Bible is God's word to mankind on how to live. And the Bible created a civilized nation. Just study world history. Study the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites. Study other civilizations of the world, and it's shocking. They were cannibals. They ate their own young. They sacrificed their children. Bestiality was a common practice. I mean, study ancient civilizations. They were barbaric. They were animalistic. And world history shows that it is only through the Hebrews, the descendants of Abraham, God gave the Ten Commandments, and then He gave what we refer to as the Pentateuch, The first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament were handed down, and that's what the Hebrews taught. They rolled it up, put it in a little thing on their doorpost to walk in and out of the house. I mean, they had the law. They had God's word. And that created the only nation in the world at that time. And that nation instilled a lifestyle into the rest of the world that was totally barbaric. Very interesting. John Adams, one of our early presidents, was a great historian. I've got a quote that I read, and listen to this very carefully. John Adams, "I will insist the Hebrews have contributed more to civilize men than any other nation. If I was an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations of the world. The Romans and their empire were but a bubble compared to the Jewish impact on the world." Well, Tim, there are civilized nations, people are civilized, that are not Christian, that don't read the Bible, they're not in church. I get that. I'm not talking about that. It's only biblical thinking, and it came from missionaries, it came from the monks in the monastery. It is only biblical thinking that came from somewhere infusing that culture that instilled biblical thinking on how man is to live. And that is the only difference in a nation and other nations that are barbaric, totally animalistic in their lifestyle. Natural man, caveman, prehistoric man never came to this lifestyle on its own. Let me just assure you, no man ever came up to, "I want to only have one woman in my whole life, and I want to support the kids that I have." No caveman came up with that. The cows hadn't come up with it. The horses hadn't come up with it. The dogs hadn't evolved to that point. Man did not evolve here. Now, you've got to understand this. Turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. When we study the laws in the Old Testament, and here the last month I've been in Leviticus and Deuteronomy quite a bit, and it's tough reading. I'll hand you that. You got to be committed. But when you begin to read all of that, you find the Ten Commandments given in Exodus, and then the laws, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that, eat this, go here, begin to come out from God as He commissioned mankind on how to live. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. These instructions aren't just a bunch of empty words. They're not for Sunday morning. They're not a religious setting. These words are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you occupy. Do you know you can be occupying a house and not enjoy it and not have long life? You can be occupying a community, a state, a neighborhood, and not be happy at all. You can occupy that. See, when you obey the word that God gives us, where you occupy, you're full of joy and you have a long life. All right, these instructions are not empty words. What were these instructions God gave in the first five books of the Old Testament? Do you know God's word? And if you hadn't read it back in there and studied it, wash your hands. Where do we get that? Animalistic behavior doesn't come up with that. Wash your hands. Here's foods that are clean. Why do we eat cows? Why do we eat filet and T-bone, but we don't eat buzzards? That's gross. It's not gross if you don't know. The Bible says Don't eat the buzzard. Don't eat the osprey. Don't eat the owl. Don't eat the speckled owl. The Bible says don't eat this. You eat split hooves that chew the cud. Not just split hooves, not just chew the cud. See, why do we eat certain animals? Why do we not just pull off of the side of the road and find a dead animal and pick it up and take it home for supper? The Bible says you don't eat an animal that died a natural death. How do we know how to slaughter an animal? The Bible tells you. When you slaughter that, you got to drain all the blood. You got to do all that. That's how the slaughterhouses operate. We operate biblical in a civilized nation, and those are instructions that were given in the Bible. Do you know that everything on the earth, when they have an urge to go to the bathroom, they go? That's what they do. The Bible teaches you to carry a spade, go outside of the encampment, and cover it when you're finished. Do you know nobody else taught that? No other place in the world did it like that? That comes from the Bible. See, you'll enjoy a long life if you'll obey these. These aren't idle words. Don't marry and have kids with your sister, with your mother, with your aunt, with your daughter. Ooh, that's gross. I would never. Every other uncivilized nation in the world has always done that. It would just, with whoever, whenever. It's the Bible that says, you don't have offspring by these relationships. The Canaanites didn't know that. The Hittites didn't know that. The Jezebites didn't know that. The Girgashites didn't know that. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? No other nation in the world knew you do this and you don't do that. Here's who you have kids with. Here's who you don't. Mass deformity, death. People lived 20 years old, you were old. By 30, you were gone. They didn't enjoy a long life because you can't have a long life living where you go to the bathroom and having children by all of your kinfolks and by not washing your hands before you eat, by not draining the blood from the meat like the Bible teaches us, and by eating unclean animals, you don't live a long life. See, a dog just sees a dead animal and goes and eats it. That's true. And dogs, a 10, 12, 13-year-old dog is an old dog. A cow gets old at 15 to 18 years old. It's over. A horse, 20, it's getting old. 30, not many horses live past 30. See, I watch the lifestyle of animals. There is no sharing. There is no cleanliness that enables a long life. I see who gets the food. Whenever I'm feeding my cows or feeding the horses, I got to put out a bunch of barrels. I got to spread the troughs out. We can't just put out hay. You got to spread the hay all out or the biggest, meanest will get all of it. And it'll lay there and keep anybody else from having any when he's full. You understand, there is a distinct difference. When you understand that man is created by God and is to live above an animalistic lifestyle. I want to make sure that every member of this church has Jude 10 memorized. Every member of this church, I want to make sure that every member of this church has Jude 10 memorized. These people scoff at the things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. Well, I felt like it. Well, I wanted to. Well, I was born this way. Well, I have these inner urges. I don't doubt that at all. My dog has inner urges. My cows and my bulls have inner urges. And they are totally driven. Their instincts make 100% of the decisions for them. And when you do what you feel like doing, you're living like a dog. That's the way dogs, unthinking animals, well, I do what feels good. I do what is right for me. That's the way a dog lives. Human beings are instilled with biblical thinking, and that's where a conscience comes from. That's where a moral compass comes from. That's where moral restraint comes from. You understand my cow, my bull, has no moral constraint. At no time does my bull step back and let somebody else go first. Where did that concept come from? Matthew, Jesus said, you want to be the first, become the last. That's where that concept of sharing. Here, you eat before I eat. Where'd that concept come from? Corinthians says, esteem others higher than yourself. See, where do these ideas come? Caveman did not evolve to this place. You got to understand what it is to be in a nation that is totally void of biblical understanding in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We eat one another. You sacrifice your own kids. How about you understand what I'm talking about here? Only the Bible teaches us to esteem somebody else. Sharing does not come from animals. And young people, you've got to stop allowing how you feel about anything be the decision maker. That's animals. That's a dog. Instincts, inner feeling, your inner guide. You say to your desire, well, I was born this way and I have desires. I say to my desire, that's not the way God would have you as a human being live. That's not, well, I have inner desires. I got inner desires too. It's to slap you right now because I think you're a blooming idiot. But I'm going to say, that's not the way God would have me live, directed by my inner desires. I will not do that because the Bible teaches me. If you don't, you create your own destruction. It's very clear. It's very clear. Seldom did parents quote chapter and verse. Parents didn't every word out of their mouth say, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. They didn't quote book, chapter, and verse. They just taught you a biblical lifestyle. Now, that's back when we were parenting. See, they taught you, don't steal. Whoa. Put that back. That's not yours. You didn't pay for that. So, wait. You don't just turn a police car over and burn it. That belongs, no, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to loot. No, you're not going to do that. See, the Bible teaches bathroom usage. Parents, you taught your kids to go to the bathroom. Do you know where you got that? Understand. Your parents didn't quote Leviticus, the chapter and the verse. They just taught you, here's where you go to the bathroom, and you don't go here. You don't go in your pants. You don't go in the floor. You don't go wherever you're standing. You don't just... Now, animals do, but you don't do that. Where did they get that? From Leviticus. That's where... So parents didn't quote you the chapter and the verse as they were potty training you, but they were instilling a biblical lifestyle of here's where you go to the bathroom, here's where you don't go to the bathroom. Here's what you eat, here's what not to eat. Here is an animal that's dead, but you don't eat that because we don't know how it died. You'll eat, well, we eat dead animals, yes, but we know how they died and the blood was drained in a proper... See, Leviticus explains all of this. Without realizing, one generation to the next generation was instilled with biblical thinking on how to live life. Man, they didn't even know it was Bible. They didn't know chapter and verse or that it was even God's word, but we grew up understanding a biblically defined way of living life. In teaching children, when mom pulled out the because I said so, for us, old people in here, that ended the conversation. I still had more to argue about. I still wanted to debate and talk about it. But my mom said, because I said so, you just well get to doing whatever it was you're supposed to be doing. Because I said so, it was over. We won't be surprised to find the because I said so comes from a biblical value system. One of many examples in Exodus chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. You all know the story. God in Genesis was talking with Abraham. Told him he's going to have a son. Immediately Abraham, just like all of us, starts arguing. Giving God all the excuses as to why what God said won't work. That won't happen. And just like us, we tell our mom and dad, oh, I can't do that. That won't work. No, we'll see everybody else. And no, you can't. Well, you read 4,000 years of human history. Man, that didn't change one iota. We're still the same. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Oh, no. See, God, you don't understand. In our culture today, 90-year-olds don't have children. See, God, in our culture today, that won't work. We can't. No, it won't. So, you know what we do then is then half-cocked. we go out and do something about halfway that God said, but not really. Abraham and Sarah took Sarah's employee, had a son through her employee, and named him Ishmael. Verse 9, God tells Abraham, look, your responsibility is just to obey the terms of the covenant. That's all I got for you to do. You just do what I tell you to do. Verse 17, Abraham begins to tell God again why this won't work, why we can't do this. And you know, man's always got a better idea. And in verse 18, I love this, Abraham tells God, God, may Ishmael live under your blessing. See, man's got a better idea of how God ought to do this. God, you were just mistaken. Here's the way I'm going to do it. Now you bless what I've done. See, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to do my own thing. But in verse 17 and 18, now God, you bless what I've done. We've always had a better idea. Verse 21, God said, my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. What I'm talking about today is in verse 22, when God finished speaking, he walked off. When God finished speaking, it was over. He's done talking about this. Because I said so. I said this. Now, this is a done deal, and we're not going to talk about this. See, when God finished talking, he left. Because I said so. For one generation to the next, this was the way parents parented. So each generation grew up with an understanding when mama said, because I said so, and she turned around and walked off, we understood that was a done deal. The arguing was over, the debating was over, the excuses were over, and we understood what because I said so meant, and we lived with that. Now, the result today of parents not parenting biblically, kids grow up without because I said so. See, we're in the line at Walmart and I want the candy, I want the candy, I want the candy, I want the candy. No, 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 shut up, no, 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 shut up, stop it. No, you're not getting it. So they get louder and louder, kid starts kicking the basket. Okay, here. See, because I said so, it's not a done deal. If you kick hard enough, if you throw a fit loud enough, if you scream hard enough, you can finally get your way. Well, here's what's happened. Our nation, full of arguing right now over things that were never argued about or discussed. See, there's no arguing about whether you're male or female. We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about who you marry, who not to marry, or authority and the place authority figures have in your life. I grew up, it didn't matter right, wrong, or indifferent. The teacher was always right. And whatever you did, you either are wrong or you caused the teacher to make a mistake, but I'm on the side of the teacher. When I got a whipping at school, I got a whipping at home. It didn't even matter, I didn't lobby my case. I just got another one. The police, they're always, see, the people in authority were people in authority in your life. And now we're arguing with each other over well-established issues. And here's what I want you to see today. Since we are growing up with arguing and debating, and we're even arguing and debating with authority figures in our life, what happens is, as children, your mom and dad are your authority figure in your life. Then when you become an adult, then God is the authoritative figure in your life. But because we are now allowed to argue and fuss and throw fits and finally get our way with our authority figures as a child, that's the way we are now doing God. God said marriage is between one woman and one man. He's the authority figure in our life, and he's done talking about it. It's a because I said so issue. And here this generation debating and arguing and kicking their feet and throwing a fit and holding posters and yelling and hollering. And God said, forgive others like you want to be forgiven. He done talking about it. It's that we're it, because I said so. We're not talking, well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what she said to me. You can do all that if you want to, but it's not changing because I said so. God said, you're going to forgive others like you want to be forgiven. And how you forgive others will determine how you are forgiven. We're done talking about this. See, just like Abraham. God, you apparently don't know what's going on in our culture today. You apparently don't know what we're dealing with. You apparently don't know what is happening here. See, you don't know how old my wife is. You don't know how barren she is. But look, every kid wants to argue. The point of my message today is there has to be in your life an understanding of because I said so. Or you will have Ishmaels in your life. You're going to have to get a hold of that. And if you weren't raised like this, you're going to have to get a hold of because I said so, and that becomes okay with you. But when you argue and you argue and you halfway clean out the carport or clean your bedroom or clean your, you just halfway, you kind of do it your own way. Yes, God forgave Sarah and Abraham. Yes, they had Isaac. Yes, the world is blessed by Isaac. But they had to deal with Hagar and Ishmael. And it cost them. Ishmael cost the next generation. And for thousands of years. See, it's just not your sin. It hurts your children. Hurts your grandchildren. It hurts generations to come whenever you disobey. Because I said so. The point of the message today is God will forgive you. You can get back on track, and I mean, your life will go on. But when you don't take because I said so as the end of the conversation, you suffer. My question today for us in here is, what has God told you to do? What has He clearly laid out in His Word that you are still debating, you're arguing, you're second guessing. You have your own idea of how you should live your life. I want you to know when God says it, He's finished talking about it and walks away. My question today is, what are you doing when God's finished talking about it? When God is finished talking about how you are to live your life on this earth, He walked away from that conversation. There are many areas in my life when God put Terry and I together, and we said, I do and I will, God's finished talking to us about that. God's finished talking to us about that. Now, when we fight, when we argue, when we disagree, when we get mad, I've noticed she gets a whole lot more frustrated with me than I get with her. I don't know why that's the case. But when we're in that situation, here's our option. Get right. See, because God said, there's not another option for us. See, God told me to be in this church. Here's where I want you. God planted me. God put me. God told me to be in this church. Now, I get mad. Yeah, don't act like you're the only one that gets mad. I get mad. You get mad at what I say. I get mad at you. You're not the only one that gets mad. People disagree with me. I disagree with people. Some come, some go, some quit. I want to quit. There's a lot of times I don't want to do this. I'm gossiped about all time. All the time. Here just recently. I made a statement that at night, we were talking about President Trump and this wall and all this stuff. I said, look here, at night, I lock the doors of my house. I think we all do. When I'm asleep, I want the doors locked. Now, the first thing I do when I come down the stairs and I wake up is I unlock the door. I want people to come in. But I want to be awake and I want to go to the door and I want to see who wants to come in. I'll make the decision whether they come in or not. That's all I said. Oh, Tim's for breaking up homes and families. He's for grabbing all the children and just shipping them out, ripping home marriages apart. He wants to ship women away from their... I've only spent 45 years trying to keep marriages together, building homes, building children, to live in a home, to live in a family. And now one thing I say, and Tim's for tearing up the family. I don't even know what to say to that. That's not at all anything like what I said. I'm not for tearing up any home or any family that's doing right, paying their part, but being law-abiding. We're not going to tear up anybody's home and family. Good grief. I'm dead. Just to heck with all of them. Go find me another. I'm going to go find me a perfect church to go to, because this one here is not. Look, if you've just recently joined us, let me save you some time. We ain't perfect. Keep looking. Now, you're looking for a perfect church to go to. This ain't it. So just continue your pursuit. Those of us who are here, in all of our imperfections, in all of our inadequacies, we locked arm. We're going to try to get stronger and stronger together. That's what we're doing in here. See, that's the way this works. When God finished talking about it, he's over. He's done. This is the way it's going to happen. Now, when you read that clearly, let me say this so somebody didn't gossip this week about my sermon. God did not leave Abraham. God will never leave you or forsake you. What clearly it means, God left that topic. We're done talking about that. He's not ever going to leave you, but he leaves talking and fussing and arguing about that. God put me in this ministry and I will be here. He's done talking about that. See, because God said so, it's become for me good enough. It's become for me good enough. And this generation has not been raised with because I said so being good enough for them. Young people, some of you are being raised fussing and arguing and arguing and fussing and debating. And here's what you need to know. Parents today are not jerking you up and wearing you out for doing that. Here's what you need to know. When you do that with God, you'll be jerked up and worn out. There are consequences for you continuing to act like that. Kids grow up today and they don't know there's consequences to all this fit throwing and arguing and yelling and debating and debating and arguing and fussing and championing their cause and championing what they believe is right for all mankind. Look here. There's severe consequences. There's severe consequences. God said it. He's done talking about it, and life will jerk you up and wear you out if you are disobedient to what God said. Life was tough for Abraham and still tough for us today because of decisions that he made that were disobedient to what God said. For you and your buddies to get on Snapchat and disagree with God, disagree with what God said, for your liberal college professors to teach contrary to God's word, here's what you need to know. There are serious consequences for that kind of thinking. When God said it, he's done talking about it. And you can forget your likes and your thumbs up and your hearts and all the stuff people share with you. When God said it, he's done talking about it. And you need to know that if you go against that, there's severe consequences. God's walked away from that topic. There are a lot of topics today that we're talking about. God's long since walked away from that topic. I want to wrap this up with why I'm teaching this today. You in your life will never know and you will never experience peace. You'll never experience joy and you'll never experience contentment until you come to the place, because I said so, is good enough for you. Because I said so, it's got to be okay with you. When I came to the place in my life and I surrendered, I quit fussing and fighting and kicking and arguing and debating and trying to talk God into my fleshly desires. Let me just tell you, if you talk to yourself long enough, you'll justify why you are okay in your sin. Everybody can do that. You see, for you, everybody else shouldn't do this, but for you, it's okay. Because, see, if you talk to yourself long enough, you'll talk yourself into this being okay. Everybody else and my friends and we're accepted, you'll talk yourself into this lifestyle being okay. See, when I quit all of that, When I came to the place in my life, I quit arguing, I quit fussing, I quit fighting, because he said so is now okay with me. Peace comes. Contentment comes. A joy in life comes. Satisfaction comes. When you come to the place in your life, because I said so, it's good enough for you. That ends the conversation. I'm not living in a knot every day. Leave Terry or not leave her. Leave her or not leave her. Should I stay? Should I not stay? I leave this church, go to another church. Leave this church. Should I quit this? Should I quit my job? Should I cut this job? Should I move? Should I leave this? See, I'm not all day trying to figure out how I'm going to tell my children that I'm about to go against what God's word says and try to make that okay in their mind. See, we live such jerked up lives, and a lot of it is because I said so is not good enough for you. We live in jerked up lives, and the reason is we don't just deal with because I said so. I don't need any more explanation. I don't need to know why and why it's not right for me and why it's unfair and why it's not just and why it. I don't know why God said that. I don't know why he did it. I don't know what his purpose, but because God said so, it's good enough for me. Because God said so, I don't need to argue and debate and think about it and rationalize why that won't work in my personal situation. My word today for all of us, turn off your arguing, your debating. Turn off what your social media and your friends and their input in your life is all about. Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. And by obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land that you occupy. You can live right here and not have a long, happy, blessed life. Live your life allowing because God said so to be okay with you. And when you do, you can watch peace and joy and contentment flood your heart. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today we acknowledge you as Lord of our life. We acknowledge you as supreme authority in our life. And today, because you said so, it's good enough with me. I honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.